Hello, farmers, and welcome to another episode of The Harvest Season. My name is Al.
I'm Kevin.
And we're here today to talk about cottagecore games.
Oh, right. I'm so used to it. It'll take a minute to get there, but...
It's all good.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Those games.
It's all good. Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing okay. How are you, Al?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Not too bad. I'm alive and I'm awake. So, you know, that's good. And it's nearly bedtime. So that's a good combination of things.
All right.
I don't know how I'm so as awake as I am, because last night I woke up at 3 a.m. Nothing to do with the kids. The kids were asleep, right? I just randomly woke up at 3 a.m. With like no hearing in my ear. The wax had built up, so I couldn't hear. And of course, that was me. I was awake. Basically, like, I fell asleep again at 6:30, but I was awakened by kids at 8 a.m. So, like, yeah, many hours of missed sleep there. So that was fun. Yeah. But I'm somehow still going. So we're doing this. We're going for this, and we're just going to go. So we're going to talk about, in this episode, Garden Galaxy, which is a recently released game. I think it came out in December, on Steam. We're going to chat through that. Is it just Steam is on?
I think so. Yeah.
So we're going to chat through that and our thoughts on that. Before that, there's going to be some news. But first of all, Kevin, what have you been up to?
Not much of interest between last week when I was on. Marvel Snap, new season, nerfs. I'm still recovering, trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life now that everything has changed for me.
Now that we're all in discard decks again.
Yep, everyone's playing. Everyone from, wow, MODOK scene. Who's going to use that? Okay, we're all using MODOK.
Yeah.
We don't know what else to do.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was like, oh my word, I'm not really sure I would use this. And then everyone started mentioning strategy and I was like, oh yeah, that's a good one. Oh yeah.
And they killed all the old strategy, so.
I still quite like my... my destroy deck, even though it's not the best deck and I don't get very high. I enjoy it. It's a fun deck to play.
It's a fun mechanic. I enjoy it too. I don't blame you. I don't use it as much, but I also enjoy the mechanic.
I did have a discard. I was playing my discard deck yesterday and I discarded my Helicarrier and bumped up 3 cards, one of which was Death, which was fun. Especially fun when that ended up getting discarded and then I pulled up my Hela and Death was obviously pulled back into the game by Hela there, which was good fun.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
The only problem with that was that then my opponent had a Shang-Chi that they had played in the one that Death was played onto, and that was enough. I lost by 1 point.
so frustrating. That's the worst.
I
mean, Marvel Snap is still great, though, all things considered. I'm also playing... I tried Mr. Negative, which switches your cost and power. That's a fun deck. A little unreliable, maybe, but I enjoy playing it. But yeah, that's Marvel Snap. Welcome to the Snapcast. Let's see. Aside from Snap, Splatoon, there's a Splatfest. Right now, at the time of the recording, you listener probably will have missed it. Milk chocolate versus dark chocolate versus white chocolate. I'm team dark chocolate.
Oh, is that what this one is?
Yeah, it is. Pick your team, pick your allegiance. I'm still dark chocolate. My teams have done well in the last few Splatfests, so, you know, high hopes for this one. Other than that, Pokemon Unite. I'm still playing that. So recently, Comfey came out for Pokemon Unite.
Yes.
You're familiar with Unite, right?
I am familiar with Unite, and I'm also familiar with how Comfey changes everything.
Comfey is... Oh, I love it. It's so bonkers. So for people unfamiliar, Pokemon Unite, you're playing as actual Pokemon running around trying to score points in a League of Legends-style game, right? So... Comfey has a very unique ability for people who know Comfey in the games, or don't know it, excuse me. It's based off like the Hawaiian lei, the little necklace chain of flowers. So the Comfey itself is like a little white string Pokemon. It adorns itself with flowers, so it looks like the aforementioned lei. Mm-hmm. And so what it does in the game is it will wrap itself around its teammates, like physically latching onto them like a belt almost, because it's kind of big, and use its flowers for healing and attacking. So for the first time, I've seen what a naked Koomphe looks like, and it's very terrifying. It's a very uncomfortable. I have not played it. My brother Calvin has picked it up, but because I'm hoping for other Pokemon. I know we're getting Zacian on Pokemon Day, but it is just so much fun to see when they add a new unique Pokemon to Unite. And it's like I said, just interesting to see them in ways you wouldn't in the game. Like, you'd never see Koomphe actually being around a Pokemon or dropping its flowers.
Yeah.
So that's the little side thing. But Unite continues to be fun. I hit Masters, which is the highest rank, which is nice.
Nice.
But yeah, that is Splatoon, Unite, Snap. Those are really all I've been busy this week, so I haven't had much time otherwise. Oh, and Scarlet Violet. The Dex filling continues. Mm. The more I play this game, the more the little things really start to bother me. like the Pokedex, how you go back to the Pokedex and you have to go all the way back. It sets you to the beginning. You have to go all the way back to the entry you want to look at every time. Or yeah. Or when you're battling and the lighting changes every time you select a move. Oh, dear, this game.
It really does feel like they just kept like pushing the quality of life stuff down the pile and just went, well, we've run out of time.
It feels that for a lot of things in this game. Mm. But that's a whole other discussion. What have you been up to, Al?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same. I've been powering through my Professor Oak challenge in Pokemon Scarlet, which is good fun. I am currently at, I'm literally looking at my Pokedex right now, I am at 289. And the number I need to get to do the first gym will be 355. So I am, what was that?
What?
66 left to go.
So what? Okay. I was about to ask that. So, okay. For listeners who don't know, the Professor Oak challenge you.
So
you have to, well, go ahead. Explain.
So the idea, if you think back to the older Pokemon games, is you would start off and you'd travel to the first gym, and most of the game couldn't be accessed until you defeat the first gym, and there was like a limited number of Pokemon in that area, so you'd have to catch all of the Pokemon and evolve them all before you do the first gym, and then before you do the second gym, etc. And obviously this would be different in different games. So in like the first generation games, you do the first two, and then there's quite a wide area, first three, and then there's like a lot of the area that you can do after that. And you can't do any of those gyms until you've caught and evolved everything. So there's some areas where it becomes more complicated and more difficult. But of course, these games are unique in that you can go almost anywhere in this game right from the start. And there are 355 Pokemon you can catch or evolve before you do any of the gyms.
For reference for people, this game has a Pokedex of 400, so that's almost all of them. That's nuts. Yeah. I hadn't thought about how that would work, but
yeah,
that is bonkers.
It is. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. It's like, it's ridiculous. I certainly feel like I'm hitting the home straight. Like, I've done maybe about 30 today. For context, my goal is to do 10 a day, because that would get me finished by Pokemon Day based on when I restarted. I started, I think, this run far too quickly after I did my first run, my Violet run, and I was just like, oh, I'm done with this for just now, and took a while off, and then came back to it a few weeks ago, and I've just been enjoying it a lot more now since I took that break. So yeah, going really well. 65 to go until I can do the first gym. So I have two Pokemon that are over level 60 so far, which is fun. And multiple in their 50s. But I can't use most of them because I caught them above the level cap that means that they won't listen to me until I defeat most of the gyms. So I can start using them again after I've defeated most of the gyms, but the fun comes in that there are obviously a few more that you can catch as you go on. So when you defeat a Titan, you can catch that Titan. So you need to do that one. I think that's most of it. And then obviously you get to the final area and there's all the paradox Pokemon.
That's odd because, like, you know, the Oak Challenge is notorious for being very grindy and slow in all the past installments, but here, no, you can just pretty much play the whole game. Yeah,
it's very different. I've not counted exactly, but there's, I think, maybe less than 20 Pokemon that you can't just catch in the wild. Uh-huh. And, you know, there are, a few of them, like, you know, you can't get the top level of the new Ice Dragon Pokemon, stuff like that. But, like, even things like Garchomp, there's a Garchomp out in the wild. You can go and get him. You know, all the EVs are out in the world. Most of the Pokemon are somewhere. And I've explored everything so far. So I'm just kind of finding the few bits and pieces of places that I've missed. And then there's a few that I need to evolve. So yeah, I really, really enjoy it. It's not for everyone. It's a ridiculous way to play these games. But that's why I have fun with it. I think the first one I did it with was, I think I only did it with Brilliant Diamond first. And that was a ridiculous one because, like, there were like three Pokemon that you had to get up to like level 40 before the first gym. There was nothing that would give you any XP. It got better after the second gym, because after the second gym, you can go down to the underground and you get much higher level Pokemon there. But my word, that was grindy for the first two gyms. Funny thing is, like, in Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, you got to like gym 5 and there was literally nothing new to catch. So you would do gym 4 and then gym 5, and then there's like 3 Pokemon, and then you can do gym 6, and then there's 1 Pokemon, and then you can do the Elite 4. It's really funny, the different levels of, and it's going to be similar to this one, right? Like, there's almost going to be no Pokemon to catch after I've done the first gym. There's like the Titans, and then that's basically it until I've finished the gym challenge.
Yeah, that's crazy, because you go from no gym to just knock them all out in one go because they're all available.
And I'll go through them so quickly because such high-level Pokemon, you know?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Because combine that with the fact that it's really difficult to catch Pokemon that are higher level than the Pokemon you have, you just end up leveling things up because you can't do it otherwise.
Sure. And I guess just following the other paths, the Team Star and the Titan stuff, like, you're leveling up anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's going to be fun to do them. I haven't listed out the order I'm going to do them, but I'm definitely going to do them in the, like, I know in the game it has like an order of like this gym, then this Titan, then this Team Star. So I'm going to figure what that is and do that. And my plan to get them done by Pokemon Day is still on track. So I'm ready for whatever DLC is announced.
I mean, we won't be getting it till the summer at least.
Well, sure. But you never know.
All right. What else?
I think that's most of it. Obviously, I've been playing some Marvel Snap as well. I have not purchased the current Battle Pass, whatever you call it.
Oh, that's fine. I think this one's skippable.
So congratulations to me so far.
Yeah, good for you.
It does mean I don't have MODOK, but, you know.
I purchased it because I find a lot of value more than just the car, like all the other junk you get, all the currencies and variants and stuff. I enjoy that.
It is definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it, but it's whether or not it's worth it over something else, right? Like, I'm playing the game less than I was at the beginning, so I'm like, I'm not quite sure it's like up to the point where I'm going to continue paying for it just now, but I might come back to it. And I mean, the good thing is that even the stuff that you can still get them at some point, right? Like, they're gonna come up and
it'll be added into,
that's nice, whatever. So I don't feel like you're gonna miss out if you don't pay for it. You're just gonna get it later, which is nice.
Yeah, for sure.
I think is that it. I think that's about it. It's been mostly just the Pokemon stuff, and then I'll get on to something else once I'm done there. It's a quiet time of year. There's loads of stuff coming up soon, but not a huge amount just now.
Quiet time of year, you say, is
for games.
Direct dropped 2 days ago, and Pokemon Direct in a few weeks.
Anyway, shall we talk about some news? So the first piece of news is about Above Snakes. So I'm going to preface this with, this is a game about the American Wild West, where you are playing as a Native American character. And we have discussed on the podcast a few times before that we were a little bit uneasy about the usage of the iconography and imagery, and you know, the merging the history into this game, because we weren't sure how much of that knowledge was coming from legitimate sources to the game. The good news is that the developer has listened to people's concerns about that and has worked with a lot of people to improve on the imagery and has updated the main character's use of clothing and stuff like that. I don't want to talk about this a huge amount just now, but that's because I'm hoping to have a more in-depth coverage of this and a discussion about it at some point in a future episode. And obviously, you know, the two of us maybe aren't the best people to discuss that.
Certainly.
On our own.
I will just say there's a substantial Steam page update about the update. And
it is so long.
I have not read all of it, but just at a glance, as someone who, again, I'm not Native American, I don't have background for that, but just at a passing glance compared to what it was before, it looks like a substantial improvement. Is that enough improvement? I couldn't say, to be honest, but mm-hmm. it's in the right direction, so good for them.
Well, and the biggest thing that we were asking for was actually discussing this with people who, you know, were Native American. Crazy idea, right? So there are still going to be issues with everything, but the fact that the developer is looking at this and willing to say, I don't know everything, you know, and I am not Native American, and I have worked with people who aren't, and to change things and accepted, you know, there's multiple things like, there are multiple things that the character was wearing which were historically inaccurate or culturally insensitive.
Yeah, it looked like that a caricature, and now and that it is good. Like an actual character.
Yeah, so it will be interesting to have a discussion with people who actually know these things, and moving forward, I have some plans for that, but it will take some time, because these things are never simple. But there is a post. I will link it in the show notes if you want to go and read it. It is a good read. The most important thing at this point is that the developer is actually willing to discuss these things. Because this is, up until this point, we hadn't seen anything. And that's the most important thing, is listening to people of certain cultures when you talk about their cultures, and actually listening to what they say and then changing. You don't, when somebody criticizes your use of their culture, you don't then say that they are wrong.
Or shrug.
Like some other people. Bear and Breakfast have released a new patch for the Switch. It includes a lot of bug fixes and memory leak fixes. Most importantly, includes all of the updates from the Fantastic Winter update. Still technically winter, so good enough.
I need to go back to Bed and Breakfast, because I'm still excited by this game, and didn't finish it on Steam because I'm just not great with PC games, but it's been up to the ends on the Switch, so I need to go back to it. I just want to say the best thing about this update, and Cody, if you're listening, I suggest you click on the link because you need the visual for this, that on the update, on their page, they have, for people who know the Flex Seal meme with the guy slaps the little Flex Seal on the leaking tank, they redrew that with Hank the Bear, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah, I love that they didn't just take the existing meme and like put Hank on it. It was a complete redraw of it. Like low quality as well. It's clearly spent a lot of time. It's like someone's gone, let me spend 5 minutes sketching this out. Blurry. It's great.
It looks like they blurred it intentionally. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. I love the humor from
and that the developers of Bear. Very apt in their game as well. For people who haven't checked it out, I suggest this game. It's very lovely. And good on them for continue supporting. They've really been at it. So good job, Bed and Breakfast.
Of course, and the two other things that I missed before, they've added Japanese as a language in the game. And the ability to save the game from the pause menu. I have questions about this because I've still not played this game. How did you save before?
On the Steam version, I'm trying to remember, there was autosave. I know that. And I'm pretty sure that you could save from like a pause menu.
Is this one of these things where you could save and exit at the same time and not save without exiting?
Maybe that's what it was, and that's what I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. That is so annoying when they do that in games.
And it autosaved consistently, so it isn't like an issue, but yeah, I know what you mean. I'm just wondering like how that worked on Switch. That's my biggest question. But yeah, good. All right, good job, Baron Breakfast.
Next we have information on the next update to Disney Dreamlight Valley. So there's an update coming out like next week or something, I think. But this is not about this update. That's about the next update.
Yeah.
My word. They are going through updates. So there's an update coming out on this. Here we go. So the 16th of February, a Festival of Friendship. So that is what most of the kind of information about this game we've talked about with the updates so far is coming. But then there's an update coming out in April, which is what we're going to talk about just now. Just very quickly, they just released some more information about it. It's going to bring in the Lion King realm, a bunch of Lion King characters. And we got, you know, a sneak peek of a video of some of the content in a blog post from them. I think that debuted in the Nintendo Direct last week.
So I just want to say, as someone who hasn't played yet, they released the Scar stuff for last Halloween, so I just assumed Lion King was already in it. Okay.
Nope. Scar was the only Lion King character until April.
All right, that's one way to do it, I guess. Okay, good. I mean, Nightmare Before Christmas is right there if you needed a Halloween character, but okay.
I think this is the thing, right? Like, I like that they're putting, because it doesn't feel like Scar was kind of wedged in there to just have him in there, right? Like, Scar is a good enough character that he can exist outside of the content that he's from, right? You don't need Simba for Scar to be a good character.
This is not a knock on Scar by any means. He's a fantastic character and Disney villain. You just, you know, the rest of the Lion King's pretty legendary too.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. But they've got to prioritize what they're putting in, right? Like, and if you say to me, would you prefer Simba or Scar in this game? I would say Scar.
Yes, that's true. I just meant like, I thought Lion King Zone or whatever was in, I don't know how this game works. Realm, you know what, Simba's kind of the most boring character in the movie, isn't he? Now that I'm thinking about it. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Oh no. Wow. I don't know.
Sorry, am I ruining your childhood here?
Thinking, is that a testament to all the rest of the movie, or is it just... All right, I'll have to reflect on that. I love Lion King. It's my favorite movie.
Yeah, I don't think everyone can be interesting, right? And the fact that you've got Scar, and you've got Timon and Pumbaa,
Nikki.
Even, I can't remember her name. It's been so long since I've watched this film.
Mufasa.
No, well, Mufafa? I mean, Mufasa.
Yeah, he's great. James Earl Jones.
Mufasa's fine, but not in the film long enough to be that interesting. No, his love interest. What's her name? Sure, I'll take that. And the hyenas, you know, they're all interesting. Like, it's not, I don't think it's the Simba's bad. I think it's just the least interesting of a good bunch of characters.
That's what I'm thinking about, yeah. So, go enjoy the least interesting thinking character Disney.
Well, we don't know lots of details about this, but there is more than just Simba in this update.
I see some.
So we'll see how that goes.
You know, here's hoping.
Yeah. Well, if Timon and Pumbaa are not there, I'll be highly disappointed.
All right. Let's be honest. April, so plenty of time.
It is, yeah. But I'll link the little teaser in the show notes. So next we have a few new game announcements. In fact, one of them, I believe, is already out. So the first one is Good Pizza, Great Pizza, which is out on Steam. And this is a pizza making game. Ever wanted to know what it feels like to run your own cozy pizza shop? Do your best to fulfill pizza orders from customers while making enough money to keep your shop open. Upgrade your shop with new toppings and equipment to compete against your pizza rival, Alicante.
This feels like looking... Okay. So there's a video, right? I'm looking. First of all, the art style is actually really well done. A lot better than I expect for this type of game. It's very...
So good.
Storybook cozy. I don't know how to describe it. Second, it's all like first person. And the look of the restaurant, there's something about it that just... You know they were looking at Bob's Burger somewhere in here. This is like Pete's Pizzas or something. Because the rival across the street, like the location, and that's, you know, that's a good thing. I like Bob's Burgers. Third thing, somebody says there is a bear in my car. I should probably get in, and then doesn't finish. I don't know why there's a person with a bear in the car and why they're ordering pizza, but that's a good sign for this game.
Well, presumably they're getting a pizza for the bear.
Yeah.
Maybe. I should probably get an onion pizza, away. Is what they say. Get an onion pizza for the bear.
Maybe it's bears eat onion. Onions smell.
Like surely it'd be like a salmon pizza or
that's
something.
That's it. This game looks like... I'm not going to talk... Like, the gameplay mechanics look well like you're making pizza, but it has a lot of character. Good on them.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like it's going to be, you know, legitimately amusing and
good
fun.
Good pizza, great pizza. Good game, great name.
Good name, but also, why did they add in Cooking Simulator game into the Steam name?
Yeah.
No, you don't need that. Just good pizza, great pizza. It's good enough.
As you said,
stop
this
there.
Is out. Released last month. It is $10 on Steam. I might try this game because it looks like... And also, I really want some pizza now. they're doing a Valentine's Day event on this pizza game? What does that mean?
Oh, did they? Oh, I missed that. Wait. Oh, yeah, 2023 Valentine's Day event. Help prepare a proposal with Kevin.
Oh, well, I gotta make a proposal with me.
Five purchasable DLCs. Okay. Mostly looks like aesthetic stuff, skins, and
I mean, that's
decor,
what it'd
decor.
Have to be in this game, right? Romantic good, topping fine. Skin. You put heart-shaped shrimp. I love.
You can your mascot can change to being a bunch of flowers instead of a pizza. Not really sure why that's got to do with pizza, but sure, fine. Oh, you get heart-shaped pepperoni.
Oh, I see it. And shrimp to make little hearts. Oh, this game just gets more awesome the more I look at it. Oh, I'm going to try this for sure. Good stuff.
Yeah. I feel like with the aesthetic DLCs, they've got currently 26 DLCs for this game. I feel like they've got a good thing going here, right? They're all pretty cheap. And if they keep pumping them out and they get a good success with this game, they could make a
I
lot of money.
I hope this thing hits Switch, because this would be I think it'd be a slam dunk on the Switch. I think people get a lot of mileage out of it.
Looks like it was in early access for quite a while. It looks like it came out in 2019.
Loot event for the Valentine's Day event ends February 22nd. So you have like 2 weeks-ish, less than that, to go get the Valentine's stuff. So go check it out. Good pizza, great pizza.
Next, we have Honeymancer. Honeymancer is a cute... First of all, I'm sorry. Don't put words like that in your game description. It's up to us to decide whether it's cute or not. Not you. All right? Thank you. Honeymancer is a cute RPG and farm simulator with wave-based combat. Play as a secluded bear witch. She's a beekeeper and a user of honey magic. Help your bee friends make honey by planting flowers. Use your honey to cast spells and protect the forest from evil
So
robots.
How many developers does Cody know? Because this is now a pattern.
I think more people like bees than just Cody. But I'm not sure how Cody would feel about this, looking at the bees. They are those kind of spherical bees, not like properly designed bees. So I'm not sure she'll be too happy. Yeah. Sorry, Cody.
Don't but she'll like the fact that you're fighting evil robots. Clearly, it's like an anti-commercialization, whatever. Like, there's a giant robot drill, and you're, like, throwing honey and stuff at it, and little chainsaws that... You're protecting the forest, clearly.
Evil robots have invaded the forest you live in, and it is up to you to stop them. Use your honey magic to prevent them from destroying trees. The robots come in waves, and each wave is tougher than the last one. You can only fight as long as you still have honey.
That's interesting. Like, you need to... your funny harm, is that what I'm guessing? That's a I like that. That's a that's a good little mechanic. Farm to maintain your battle reservoirs, resources, whatever. I like that.
It looks to me like a better version of Atomicrops in terms of like that combat, wave-based combat with the farming combination of things. It looks like I would enjoy this a lot more.
From what I've seen from Atomicrops, I would agree with that assessment. Visuals, it's sprite-based, a little more polished, a little better than your average Stardew aesthetic clone. I just probably say that because it's all in the forest. Maybe that's why I feel like it. But it looks nice. The designs are great. The machines, evil machines, are all very evil and cartoony. And you're a bear witch, literally a bear who is a witch, for clarification, not some sort of title. Yep.
A bear witch.
I thought for a second that you're some sort of bear total. I don't know. Whatever. Look.
Witch of bears rather than bear who is a witch. I control the bears.
All
the
trees
look
like hives. It's very, or a lot of them do. It's very, very enjoyable. I'd love to hear Cody's thoughts on this. Do we have a release? Nope, coming soon. I don't see any release date. Okay, there you go.
Coming soon. And finally, we have a reason to buy a PlayStation VR 2.
I was excited about this, and then I saw, oh no, it's VR!
It's not just VR, it's PSVR 2. So the only place you can you can play this is on a PlayStation VR 2 with a PS5.
Okay, what is the game?
Talk about shortening your... So this is Garden of the Sea. It is a game. I haven't actually clicked on the link yet. Give me a minute.
I'm looking at the trailer. Like, it's a wholesome title. Oh, it comes out February 22nd. That's actually very close. I didn't click on the link either. I'm just watching the trailer.
Garden of the Sea is already on Steam and Oculus. So ignore me. You can play this already. It's just not on PSVR 2 yet.
So to describe, I'm just going to describe the trailer here. It is VR, your first person.
Do I own this game? I might own this game.
So in the trailer, you're feeding various animals, doing a little fishing, cutting down a tree. But it's all very polished. It looks cute. You call that an Ooblets-esque art style? It's very soft, sort of. Art style, lots of colorful creatures like penguins.
I think it's Wind Waker-esque, I think.
It's in that direction, sure. There's a pie, you can give a pie to a bird. All the designs are very cute. There's like photographs and a wall of photographs. The landscapes are very nice.
I own this game on my Quest, apparently.
I don't 100% understand from the trailer what the game, like, what the actual mechanics are supposed to be. There's a lot going on, but there's a lot of critters. It looks like primarily you're interacting with critters. You're petting them, feeding them, washing them. I like it a lot. It's very cute. Pity it's VR.
Pro tip, don't try and put your Quest headset on your head.
No, that's the best way to do it.
Doesn't work out well.
Episode recorded while you're in VR. The first ever.
It's all good. I'm back. I've now lost my glasses.
When are we going to do a Harvest Season recorded in VR chat or whatever?
It's really disconcerting. They added a mirror into like the home screen on the Quest 2. The home screen is like this kind of there's a few different ones, but it's like an area that you're in, right? So you're not just like looking at blank stuff. You're like in an area, and you can bring up menus and stuff like that. But they've added this mirror in, so you can see your avatar, and that's how you change your avatar. But it's really disconcerting to just look over and see myself as an avatar, especially as they haven't launched the legs. I know they said that they're doing legs, but they've not launched them yet. So I'm just like a disembodied top of my body.
More reason to record a podcast in there. That'd make for good content.
So this game is coming to PSVR too. Okay. That's the only new stuff.
I see a bullet point list here. You pet and feed all the animals with your homegrown veggies and cuddle their babies. Expand and decorate your home with crafting items, furniture, and paint. Go fishing for new friends to hang out in your pond. I did see that you could pick up a fish in a bubble and throw it in a pond. Take your boat on a ride to discover new land and environment types.
Obviously.
No violence. All tend and befriend. And then there's hidden mysteries on each island, apparently. I don't know. It is very cute and cozy, this game. I will say that. It looks polished. I don't play a lot of VR because my sister has a VR set, but I don't personally have one. It's PSVR, so I don't know. But it looks very nice. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want this game, don't buy a PSVR 2 for it. go play it on the Quest too. There you can get them reasonably cheap.
I agree.
And it still works really well. When I say reasonably cheap, I mean like 300 quid rather than 600.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
or the 1500 the new Quest Pro is.
Oh, VR.
Or the, 3,000 that they're expecting the new Apple one to be.
I enjoy, VR is a cool concept, but we're still going through some growing pains to get there.
But
this game looks great. If I had the setup, this would be a fantastic game, I would think, to play on my VR set.
I obviously thought so because I bought it.
All right, so tune in for Al's episode on, Friends of the, what is this? Thank you.
Garden of the Sea.
Some future episode. good stuff.
So, we're going to talk about Garden Galaxy. So, as mentioned, this came out on December the 14th last year. As usual, I'll just read out a little blurb and then we'll get into chatting about it. Discover, collect, and organize to create your own unique garden in this relaxing, idle/creative sandbox. In Garden Galaxy, you build and arrange your own personalized garden from randomized item drops pulled from an enormous selection of different items and decoration. No two gardens are the same. When at the mercy of chance, every garden you create will be unique and evolve with every new item from the pot. So I guess the kind of, quick explanation of the actual gameplay, right? So you start off with a small area of cubes, and you have little kind of cone like creatures that pop up, and you tap on them, and and they give you a coin, and you throw the coin into a pot, and a thing comes out the pot. Like it might be a plant, it might be a part of a fence,
more cubes,
it might be
for
a
land.
Sign, it might be a chair. More cubes for land,
yep.
Loads of possibilities. You can also throw your items back into the pot and you'll get more coins. Yep. And
there are different kinds of coins for different groups of items.
And that's basically the game. Like that is the entire game loop. And it's about how much you do and what you get and how you organize it. And
what
are your initial thoughts?
First of all, I think the game's well done. I it looks great. Mm. It feels great. It's clearly designed for like a relaxation type game. And it is, I think it accomplished that very well. I also will say this is the most frustrating relaxation game I've ever played because of the mechanic of the coin and the random chance drop, right? Because there is a lot of cool stuff and I want to decorate with it all, but I ran out of room. So I need to figure out a way to either get more land or sell some of the stuff I have, right? And it's not really like a penalty because you can get that stuff again. And it's just the fact it's all chance it's an exercise in patience, right? Someone who's patient probably wouldn't mind this game at all.
I think we're on the exact same page there. I think this is a great, really nicely, well-designed, well-developed game. I didn't come across any issues at all in this game. Yep, it worked exactly as it was meant to. And it looks gorgeous and it sounds gorgeous. I just don't think it works with how I relax in games.
So,
you know, like, I'm with you. The randomness, I think, is the biggest issue for me. And the second one is, the limited... area. And I think if those two things were different, if it wasn't random and you just like you could choose, or you could like say I want something from this pool of things or something like that, and if you didn't have like a limited amount of space to do things, like I would enjoy that a lot more. And it's the sort of thing that if this game is designed to be relaxing and calming and kind of just a creative sandbox, adding in other game modes would be really a good addition to this game. If you could have an unlimited area one, and you could just like get specific things rather than random things, that would be really fun. Like I think that I would probably spend more time playing and have more fun doing that.
My thoughts are, I don't have so much a problem with the random chance aspect of it, because there are two items in the game. There are some, a lot of it are aesthetic items, but there are some functional items. There's some items that can change the background. They can change the time of day. But the two items in particular that are critical to the game, under how it is currently, are piggy banks and, the pedestal. So, and piggy banks, they're useful because they are currency converters, right? There's different coins. Each coin has access to a pool of items. And now you can get a piggy bank and you can put coins from any other currency into your piggy bank. And when you fill it up, you can break it and they'll all transform into whatever coin the piggy bank is for. And there's a piggy bank for each currency. So you can basically change any currency into another if you wait enough and fill up the piggy bank. So doing that, that helps me focus. Like, okay, I know I want this type of block, so I'm going to fill up these piggy banks and hope I get the blocks from that pool. And the second item to help with that is the pedestal. Now, there's a pedestal, and if you can put anything on the pedestal, and all it does is increase your chance of getting the item on the pedestal. You can have multiple pedestals, and I can't guarantee or confirm this, but it feels like the more pedestals you have and the more items you stack on there, it increases the chance of that item. So like if once I got like three or four pedestals and I put, let's say, I don't know, like the brick walkway or whatever, once I started putting the coins for that, I would start getting a lot of the brick walkway pieces that I wanted. So it took some time, but I'm starting to build up a decently sized garden like how I wanted, but it's still a little painful because of the random chance sort of thing.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I'm not obviously not entirely random, but I mean, from my point of view, I look at all these great kind of screenshots they have of all these kind of similarly styled things, and I just end up getting these random things, and it's like, sure, I can like sell them back and there are ways to like influence what you get, but I mean, when I get random thing and I've done a bunch of work and then I get a random thing and I look at it and go, I don't really like, it's just it's not encouraging to me, you know, and it's not like, yeah, you got the pedestals, but you have to have a thing in the first place,
you do
put it on the pedestal in the first place. So it's a bit frustrating, and like the currencies is, yeah, I get the thing about the currencies, but
this game does feel like a cookie clicker at times, because you're like clicking on everything. There's even achievements for clicker. I think that the game is missing one of two things, and like you said, they could be just other game modes. One, because this game is aesthetic decoration driven, like Happy Home Designer, I think you should be able to access a lot of the stuff you've unlocked. Let's say just unlocking it, then you have access to whatever number of items. That would be nice.
That would work. Yeah, if the random items then unlocked the ability to then just get those items, that would remove that problem for me.
Secondly, absolutely. I think there. So you generate the coins pretty much just time randomly based on these little cone Pikmin come in and you click on them and they give you the coin, right? If your garden, like the more you improved it, attracted more little Pikmin guys and you generate coins faster, I think that would be helpful. But as of right now, I don't think there's any link between the two. And, you know, it would, you know, motivate you to actually decorate the garden and whatnot. Right now, it's all just as whatever you want. But for me, I think the biggest issue is the land problem, right? Because you have to expand the land on your own using these coins, using the blocks and cubes that they give you, right? Even if it was just the blocks that once you unlocked them, you could just use as many as you wanted to, I could build nice big areas and fill them in as the random items came. I wouldn't mind that as much. But it's just frustrating because I'll have this pile of cool things I want to use, but I don't have enough room for them. Or I'm trying to build a certain patch of land to look a certain way, and it's a painful process as I'm trying to just build the patch of land before I even start actually decorating it. For me is the kicker, the land part. If I could just build land without that much of a hassle, I would probably be a lot happier with this game. Now, that said, I'm sounding fairly critical about this pretty core component, but I do think it is a relaxing game for the most part. It is enjoyable to me. It's aesthetic, the music, all that is very pretty and well done.
I also think, I don't think we're being critical about the core aspect of the game, because the core aspect of the game is
the loop, making a garden. Whatever you want to call it. Right, sure. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
The core loop, the existing core loop, but I think you can get around that by having other ways to play it. It's like when Minecraft added the creative mode. Like, it didn't change anything about the existing mode. It just gave people who didn't want to fight zombies another way to play Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same sort of thing, I find. And I will say there's one other issue with this game, and it's not an issue with the game, it's an issue with me. I am not creative with this sort of game. Like, it's my same issue with Animal Crossing and all these other things, is I look at them and I go, everybody's stuff looks amazing. And then I try and do it and it looks like a pile of junk. You know, I just don't have the creativity to come up with these ideas.
A lot of people struggle with that. I will say, I think because the different currency, so each currency is related to a set. Like, there's a fish coin that gives you a whole aquatic garden set. Like, oh, you eat the tiles or water, and you can put fish and aquatic plants. Like, I think that helps with that a little bit. Like, you can make focus on one type of currency and make it look.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can actually organize it in a way that looks good, right?
And I will say that the game talks about the, what was it, enormous variety or whatever. I'm actually going to challenge that notion, because it will give you, like Animal Crossing New Horizons, a lot of items come in different varieties. Like, you can have a vase in three colors or whatever, but it's only like I'd say less than 20 items in a set, something like that. Considering this, that's all this game is, I think it probably needs a better amount of items. But that's just me. I think that would maybe help with the creative stuff, because it's all very limited. And so, right, because like in Animal Crossing, you know, the basic furniture, you can at least think of, okay, I'm going to put a chair, a table, a bed or whatever, right? But here, it's not as obvious what you want to put in there or whatever. Like, there's lots of flowers and vases, but where do you want them? And I don't know. I could think it could benefit from a few more structures. Yeah. And I'm honestly, though, I'm hopeful for this game. I think if they can continue supporting it, does well, we get updates, I think it will evolve into something nicer.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. It has. I think the thing is, it's a really nice concept, a really good concept, a really well implemented game. But the end, the single game loop, game mode that we have works for a kind of person. And I'm sure those people are absolutely loving it. But the small things about it, the small things about it just don't kind of mesh with our brains in different ways. And slight tweaks would make it work so much nicer. It'd be really nice. Like, there are loads of ideas I have. Like, for example, have a way to like share them. So like, maybe someone has a really great one, they say, here's a code to generate this world, and then you can modify it after the fact. That would solve a lot of my problems, because like, I can take something existing and make it different, but I struggle to get to the point of like, I'm happy with this as a concept in the first place, because you start out so simple that I struggle to know how to get to a point where I like it. Whereas I can take something, go, I really love the aesthetic of this one, let me build around it and modify it and extend
that
it.
that would be
really cool.
Honestly, like, I think about Roller Coaster Tycoon games, like, right, where they give you a base theme park and ask you to extend it and hit certain numbers and whatnot. I think a mode like that would work fantastic in this game. And like, again, I get this, its mission statement is clearly we want you to relax, right? But like, I also want to have fun, right? Like, they're already doing a very relaxing atmosphere. Like, if they gave me something really fun, I would enjoy it, because it's not a fast-paced game. There's no time system, no penalties or anything like that. But just fixing these little things so I could play it a little more my style, a little more my speed, would be nicer. And I still think they'd knock the relaxing part out, because that might be some of the harder stuff, all the designs and the music and aesthetic, like, to create that relaxing environment. I think a lot of games aim for and don't do as well as this one does. But now it would be nice to see some changes in the loop.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the good thing is it's got very positive reviews on Steam.
I do. It's so like, what, $5?
People loving it.
At least in the U.S., I give it a hearty recommendation. If making a garden sounds appealing to you, just like planting a garden or whatever, designing one, I suggest you give it a shot, right? Like, your mileage will vary depending on how patient you feel or you know, your own tastes.
I think that's the key point. If you are patient and you don't get stressed out by randomness of these things, and you're just happy with just keeping going and seeing how things develop, go for it.
But I still think this team did a great job. They set out to do a certain objective, and I think they hit it pretty well. I'm just excited to see an update later, and I can get back to it. I'll probably keep visiting this game because I enjoy these creative building type games, tycoon, whatever you want to call it, type game. That's why I enjoy Happy Home Designer. It's in the same vein. And I've been playing it for like 2 weeks, so I've made some progress, because it's, again, an exercise in patience. The longer you play, the more eventually you'll start heading towards something you're happy with. I don't blame you. I'm also super impatient. but still, good job on the Garden Galaxy team, because it is a lovely little.
I think that's the thing is, like, I looked at this and went, this is gorgeous looking, and can it live up to the hype? And you play it and like, well, it looks and plays really nicely, and it sounds really nice. Like, everything about it screams quality. And so I really hope that this is supported enough that they can continue adding new things, both, you know, as you say, more content, and hopefully maybe some new game modes, which I don't know. I hope they hear this.
I hope really so too, that. Right? Like, that's what we're here for. Garden Galaxy people, go play Garden Galaxy so they can hear us.
So the other thing is, I think, so you were presumably playing this on your computer. I was playing this on the Steam Deck. I will say,
I imagined it would. This would be a great port to the Switch, once it's, you know, a little more polished, maybe. But
the touch screen for moving things around,
it would be very intuitive, because it's just very click and drag, right? And
tap things to turn them on or off.
It is.
There's no crazy menus or anything.
Yeah.
No, this, I imagine this is fantastic for the Steam Deck. I will say, like, they just did an update, like, a couple of days ago. I noticed just a few little minor quality of life things they added. Oh, they added ramp corner pieces. So they had, like, you have your standard floor block, but they also had ramps. Now they also added corner pieces.
Oh,
so
nice.
Now you can have, like, a proper corner ramp area. And it's not like an extra block. It's just the ramps. You can now click them and cycle through the different designs. You know.
That's nice.
I think little by little, they're going to, if they keep working on it, they'll build up to something quite nice and lovely. So I'll be back to Guardians of the Galaxy. So again, listeners, go check it out. I like to see a little game like this succeed. Right. Like it's lovely that
agreed.
They put a lot of good work into it and they deserve success for that. I think that's roughly all I have to say on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Excited to see where they go, either with this game or future games, you know, because I don't think that developers should feel they have
to
update
and clearly
existing games.
They have
so
talent,
I'm sure they have
so
other
it
ideas.
It would be very nice to see what else they can do. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, just checking whether they have any other games. They don't. This is their only one on Steam that I can see. Well, thank you for chatting. By Garden Galaxy. Fun little game.
Thank you for having me on.
Fun little podcast.
Yeah, it was. Nice little relaxing game.
You can find me on Twitter at the ScottBot, or I'm also Scott the ScottBot at mastodon.scott, which is the Mastodon server I'm on. Links to both of those in the show notes.
Primarily Kevin, where can at Coop Prez. I have an art account. I am actually planning to get back to that. I have felt the itch again. I'm going to get started on sprite work again. One thing about Twitter. I reached the next limit on my followers, or like how many I can follow people I'm following. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Yeah.
What?
I think it's just something. Either it's a bug or something that Elon added. I don't know. But I'm not happy because I can't follow any more accounts. They said I reached my limit.
Was this a couple of days ago
when
you tried and it had an error? Are you still not working?
Let me check right now. It didn't say an error. It just said I couldn't do it. Hold on. Let me see if I can. Hold on. Give me one.
Because you're not even following that ridiculous number of people. Like, I've seen people with millions
of followings. Yeah, no. Let me go to the one post that I was trying to follow. It's a beautiful, lovely art piece. Oh, look, there's one there. Oh, that's cool. Oh, maybe it was an error the other day. I just followed somebody. Okay, never mind.
There was a day where it looked like they were implementing some weird new feature where you can limit how many times you can tweet and stuff like that, and they're going to start charging companies to tweet more than that, but they managed to muck it up and so nobody could tweet at all, so it may well be related to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Good old Elon.
It's going great. Speaking of Twitter, you can also follow the podcast.
You can follow it. I just confirmed it. You can follow it right now.
Woo!
THS Pod.
Nice. You can also find links to everything on our website, harvestseason.club, including a link to our Patreon, where you can support the podcast for various things, including our Slack with a great bunch of people chatting. All bunch of stuff. There was some
it's
chat
been growing.
Recently on
I like
Snap.
It. I like that. I feel like we've really been building up that Slack. I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. And more importantly, if you give us money, is the Slack part of the money? Is that a paid thing? I don't even know. Okay. Well, you can get that
thing,
from the Patreon at patreon.com/THSPod. Where you can also get, in addition to the Slack, access to the super exclusive paid content podcast, The Greenhouse, where there's a whole bunch of topics that aren't farming games, including following up from last week, which I mentioned we were working on the games on the 3DS and Wii U eShop, non-farming games, that will be coming out soon.
Yes, it'll either already be out or it will be coming out in the next couple of days. Just
Al and I and our good friend Micah happen to be on there. So listen, it's good stuff. A lot of good suggestions. I have some notes from that conversation on stuff I want to get before the shop closes. That one's limited time. Like, or not the episode itself, but like the subject matter. It's a countdown, folks. You got like less than 2 months, like 6 weeks to get that stuff. So sign up, pay the money, listen, and watch the harvest season grow.
Give me money or you won't get any 3DS games.
Is that Al or is that Nintendo? I'll let you decide, people.
What? I am Nintendo. Thank you for listening.
Thank you all for having me on.
Thank you, Kevin, for joining me. And until next time, have a good harvest.
The Harvest Season is created by Al McKinley, with support from our patrons, including our pro farmers, Kevin and Stuart. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, harvestseason.club, for show notes and links to things we discussed in this episode.
Anyway, shall we talk about some news?
I guess so, if we have to.
Wow, Kevin. This is why we should do the main episode before we do any greenhouse episodes if we record them.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying that to heckle you. I'm here to talk all day. We could do greenhouse number 2 on Pokemon again.